Well, amen. What a blessing that was. Thank you for that message and song. What a blessing it has been already just being in the house of the Lord. I trust that you have been able to sense God's presence in this place. We pray all week long that this would be a place of refuge, and not only for our own church membership, but for all who would come through the doors, whether it be for one visit or for many, that you would just sense the presence of God and receive what God has for you. If you have your Bibles this morning, if you look with me to the book of Matthew chapter 4, Matthew chapter 4, we're going to be reading verse 17 down to verse 25, which is the end of the chapter there, starting in verse 17, Matthew chapter 4. If you're able to, if you'll stand for the reading of God's Word, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me, Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. The Bible says, "And from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom of and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And they followed him, and there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you, we love you, Lord. Thank you for allowing us the opportunity to be in church today. Thank you for each one that's here that's taken advantage of their opportunity to be here. And God, as we've already sensed your presence here, I pray that you would just continue to work in our midst. I ask, God, that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Jesus, as the only begotten Son of God, the Bible says he was the Word, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's Jesus. He came to earth with a mission to reach the world with God's plan to save all humanity. I hope you got a hold of that. This was God who became man, came into the world as a mission to reach all humanity. Matter of fact, the book of Luke says in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." God's crown of creation, humanity, was lost because of their sin. Because of Adam's sin, rebellion, and because of that, the death penalty placed upon sin. And now that all humanity linked to Adam, we are born with a sin nature. Lost to God, but God has a love, and he desires to reach the lost and save them. He would enlist, Jesus, this is the beginning of Jesus' public ministry, he would enlist those who would carry on his mission after his ascension. Now, you know, Jesus came and established Christianity, established the New Testament church. And the mission for the church throughout this entire church age, the church age has been going on now for some 2,000 years, ever since Jesus established it. And the mission of the church, and if you will, the church is made up of believers. It's a body of Christ. The mission for all believers is to reach the lost with God's plan of salvation, to save them which was lost. As veterans, and this is Veterans Day, we're appreciative of our veterans and understanding your part as a veteran. You've honored your country by serving in its armed forces. You had a commander-in-chief, which we know the commander-in-chief of the armed forces of the United States of America is the president of the United States. And whoever the president was throughout your service, you honored your country by serving in the armed forces under the commander-in-chief, whom you served by doing what was expected of you to do. And not only many did not only what was expected of them as soldiers, but they even went beyond their expectations. Yeah. Likewise, all believers have a commander-in-chief. The good thing about our commander-in-chief, it doesn't rotate. It doesn't change. We have the same commander-in-chief today as the apostles had in the first century. Jesus Christ being the commander-in-chief of all Christians. So, as a believer, as my commander-in-chief being the Lord Jesus Christ, I am to follow after and serve Him and to do what He expects of us to do. What we've just read here in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17 down to verse 25, records Jesus enlisting His first four apostles who were career fishermen. They had been raised by their fathers to be career fishermen. These fishermen would become four of the greatest Christian leaders in the history of Christianity. Peter, Andrew, James, and John. The first four that Jesus chose were career fishermen. And I believe that God has a plan and a purpose for every single thing that He does. And we have that which was recorded for us to learn of this as well, because with these being career fishermen, their mission established by the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 19, which has followed every believer since that, was stated in, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Now, he used a metaphor. And a metaphor, the definition would be a figure of speech that make an implied comparison between things which are not literally alike, but you can compare them. He chose fishermen because he knew what he had for Christianity, and it could be likened unto fishing for fish. The metaphor was winning the lost compared to catching fish. Now, God determined this to be a good illustration. It's what Jesus presented to them. But he wasn't just presenting it to the fishermen, although he chose the first four as being fishermen because they would better understand it. But it would be a model, if you will, an example for all believers throughout this New Testament church age. A great illustration. Now, I've used some not so good illustrations in my preaching over the years. I remember one in particular. I was making a difference in the message between being casual and being dressed. And I remember using the idea of putting on casual shoes as compared to dress shoes. If you have casual shoes, then you're going to lead and go in casual direction. If you have dress shoes, then that is something that's going to lead you in something other than that being casual. And I remember as I was making this point and using that as an illustration, I was thinking of flip-flop shoes. So every time I would use that illustration, I would call flip-flop shoes thongs. If you go to Webster's definition dictionary, you'll find that that's what it used to mean. I had no idea. Every time I would use the word thongs, I would look at my wife and she would, oh no. I'm thinking, they're flip-flops. It wasn't, I knew something was wrong, and I do this every now and then. I know something's wrong. I don't really understand it till afterwards. And then she told me something. I had no idea. I was going by what it used to mean. Amen. So I've made some pretty bad illustrations in the past. But can I tell you that God's illustrations are always perfect. Exactly what he used is something that we can understand and compare. I will make you fishers of men. It's what our commander-in-chief expects from all of us. If you will yield to him, by faith follow after him, you will win the lost. The first thing as a fisherman is, and I guess this will be true in just about any profession, a career that we have, is we need to see ourselves in that position in our career. A fisherman needs to, first of all, see himself as a fisherman, somebody that is looking to catch fish. In the military, as a soldier, you must first of all see yourselves as a soldier. If you're going to accomplish what your commander-in-chief in the military wants you to accomplish, you have to see yourself as a soldier under a commander-in-chief and representing your country. That's why they have very specific instructions on uniform. That's why they tell you exactly what you are to do and what you're not to do. And you go through boot camp and you go through training to realize who you are and what is expected of you as a soldier of the United States of America underneath a commander-in-chief. And they want to train you. They want to drill this in you so that when you are out representing the commander-in-chief and you're out representing your country, that you will be the soldier that they want you to be and accomplish whatever the mission is that they sent you out to accomplish. Same way as a fisherman. You have to see yourself as somebody that's going to catch fish. And so in verse 18 and 19, we find here that Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee, verse 18, and saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. What they were doing was they saw themselves as fishers, and so they were fishing. They were doing what needed to be done. Whether they were fishing right then or not, they were practicing their art of fishing. Casting a net into the sea, making sure that they knew what they were going to be doing once they got out to the place where the fish were. In verse 21, we find even in James and John, verse 21, the Bible says about them, mending their nets, they were there mending their nets because they knew that they were fishermen, and part of what they were going to need in order to catch fish was their nets, and they wanted to make sure that when they got out to catch fish, that their nets were ready. They didn't have any big holes in them, because if they had holes in them, then they would lose fish. And so they seen themselves as fishermen, and so that's what was on their minds. That's what they were thinking about as they lived their lives. They thought about the objective of their career was to catch fish. So they were acting like fishermen. A soldier is to act like a soldier. Fishing was on their minds. If we're going to be what God wants us to be and accomplish the mission that Christ has given to us, this has to be something that's on our minds. When I worked a secular job, I was an auto body repairman. I prepared Porsches and Audis, and I repaired frames. I was taught to pull frames and to repair frames. I was registered and certified technician of a frame repair. I trained to do that. I went to school to do that. And so it was on my mind. Whenever they would give me a close to being a total Porsche or an Audi, which is what I worked on, I would think about that car, and I would think about, all right, I'm to repair that car, and the first thing you learn is when you're in an accident and you're trying to repair that, you have to go back and realize where the accident happened and what happened, because you have to reverse what happened in the accident. So the last piece of metal that was affected needs to be the first piece of metal that you start reenacting. You have to somehow get back to all the way to however hard the car was hit. It would affect how far in it was damaged, but you had to go to the plate. You didn't start on the front of it. You started at the end of it where it was finished, and you start there, and you start trying to pull it back out and repair what had been damaged. And it was on my mind because you had to think about it. You had to think it through, and every time I had a car like that, then I would have to have that on my mind in order to do what I was paid to do, and that is fix that total or that damaged frame. It has to be on your mind. If you're going to be successful in whatever career you have in life, you know what? You have to think about it. You have to see yourself in that career. You have to see yourself, and then you have to act like whatever it is that you are. If you're going to get the job done that you were commissioned to get done. Well, I also realized that I was a Christian. And so while I was at work in my secular job, I was aware of my Christian testimony. Because even though I was employed to repair wrecks, I was also commissioned as a Christian to win the lost. And my testimony is the most important thing that I had to win the lost. They might respect what I did as an auto body frame repairman. They might respect that and however good I was at that. But that's not who I was. That's what I did. Who I was a Christian. I looked at my service to my God and my service to my Savior was first. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. I looked to him first of all. And so, yeah, I wanted to do a good job and I wanted to be able to keep that in my mind. But at the same time, I wanted to represent Christ as he wanted me and commissioned me to represent him. And so I had to be aware of everything. The other guys could cuss and drink and do all of that. I knew that if I was going to represent Christ, then I couldn't do that. when I would smash my thumb or hit my, and we're talking about sheet metal, we're talking about big hammers and pulling some 20 tons of metal sometimes to straighten frames. And if you don't get that on there just right and it pulls, it put 20 tons of pressure on a frame to pull that frame. And sometimes they would get loose and, I mean, you could lose your life. But when I would do something like that, I would have to be aware of, I'm not going to respond the way the rest of them do. Because I'm going to represent Christ. That would give me opportunities to witness, to tell them why I didn't cuss, I didn't drink, and I didn't respond the way the rest of them did. Because I was aware of who I was, had it on my mind. I was involved in church because I knew it was God's will for my life. I did a lot of other things, but I was aware that the thing that mattered most, what I accomplished that matters most in life, was that which Jesus Christ saved me to accomplish in this life. My involvement in my church. I wanted to win the lost. And to win the lost, I had to become part of Christ and the testimony of his church. So Jesus was establishing his church right here. This was the beginning of the New Testament church. The very first beginning that we find in the scriptures is Jesus establishing his church by pulling in his first disciples who would become the apostles, who would then pass down what he gave to them to the next generation of disciples. And then that generation of disciples was to pass down to the next generation of disciples. And we find that it's been passed down for some 2,000 years of New Testament Christianity. With the very same purpose in mind, with the very same commission in mind, and what Jesus wanted them to be, and that is fishers of men. As a metaphor of winning the lost. And he said, follow me. And I, your Savior, your Lord, once you trust in him and look to him, will make you. I'll develop you. I will prepare you. I will equip you. You're just mindful of who you are. You'll win the lost. You need to see yourself. Are you saved this morning? If you're saved, praise the Lord for that. That was a free gift. You didn't earn it. It's by the grace of God. Through your faith, but it's by grace. That grace is unmerited favor of God. He gave you an opportunity to be saved, to have everlasting life. But once you become a child of God's and you become a Christian, then you have a commander-in-chief who has marching orders for us. And his marching orders have not changed. He wants us to win the lost. Be a fisher of men. So you have to see yourself as a fisherman of men. And then you have to plan to catch fish. If you go out to some of the, and you fishermen like to go different places and thinking no one else has been there. But if somebody just dug a ditch and filled it with water, if you go there and try to catch fish, you're never going to catch a fish. Because the first thing that you learn when you are when you decide to be a fisherman or you want to catch fish, you have to go where the fish are. I've been fishing. I love that. I was taught by one of our church members, Mel Rosellis. He's the one that taught me how to bass fish. I'd never done that before, but he taught me how to be a bass fisherman. I was always bored when I would go before, and I hardly ever caught fish because I really didn't understand it. You have to understand fish and where they're at and what they feed upon if you're going to be successful in catching fish, you have to learn some things about fish. And the first thing that Melrose taught me was you have to go where they're at. You're never going to catch a fish if there's no fish there. And then he taught me something else that's very important. You have to keep your line in the water. The fish are not going to, most of the time anyway, jump into the boat. They don't want to be caught. They're living their lives and they're happy living their lives. They don't know what they don't know, that they are actually put on earth for man's consumption. And they do not want to be caught. And when you pull them out of the water, they are very upset. They can't breathe. They can't move. They just flop. If you're going to catch fish, you have to go where they're at and know what they're feeding on. Use the right baits. Use the right equipment. Go where fish are and prepare to catch them. Verse 23, look there with me, Matthew chapter 4. Once Jesus called them, let them know the commission. Now he is setting them, taking them with him to show them what he's doing in order to catch, be fishers of men. Verse 23, now this is when they followed him. Now they're following him, now he's preparing them. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching. Went where they were. First of all, to those that would have some religious understanding, they might have a better understanding that there is a God, and trying to help them to have a clear understanding of who God is. An atheist will not give much time to anyone who believes in God, because that is opposite anything that they want to hear. So we find that Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, of healing all manner of sickness, and doing everything that God prepared him to do, and presenting everything that God wanted him to present, and doing healing people and helping people. When you start helping people with the truth of the knowledge of God, and God has the solutions to our problems, and when you start helping people, they're going to be more apt to want what you have. When you give them counsel that works, when you show them a life of joy, peace, contentment, they want that. So you have to be mindful that I have that as a fisherman. Then you have to be prepared to catch fish as a fisherman. You have to go where they're at. Luke in chapter 10. Got to hurry here. I don't want to take too much time with this morning, but I want you to get a grasp of this. It's so very important. In Luke in chapter 10, we find here that Jesus, as he continued to draw disciples, and he was preparing them to carry on the commission that he was given by God the Father. Here we find him sending out 70. So it was not just the preacher and the staff that are to win souls. It's all membership. It's all believers. In Luke in chapter 10, it says here, and after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two by two before the face into every city and place whether he himself should come. He's teaching them how to become fishers of men. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. Pray that we catch more fish, to get more people involved in fishing. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house you enter in, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall return to you again. You have to use the help of the Holy Spirit of God to know what to do and how far to take the witnessing of the gospel. And if the Son of Peace be there, in verse 7 it says, and in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house, seeking food and favor from people. That's what he's saying there. And into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off. Not everybody will receive your testimony. Not everybody wants to receive Christ as their Savior. They're blinded by the devil. But if they will not, you cannot help somebody that does not want to hear the word of God. Be sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. They will remember that at some point. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city, those people who rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was preparing them. He taught them exactly what they were to do in taking the gospel to lost, they would be saved. Not only are we to see ourselves as fishermen, and not only are we to have a plan to catch fish, we are to prepare them once we catch them for consumption. Amen. I love that part. Because God's purpose for fish, as I said, is to be consumed, is to be enjoyed, to fill your belly. There's nothing like fresh fish, amen? Now, none of the staff like for me to cook it in the office, in the kitchen. Every time I cook fish, they all get upset. Who did that? They know I love it. I enjoy it, amen? But it doesn't always smell. Not everyone has has acquired the smell of fish. But that's why God put them on earth. Amen. To be consumed. Do you know why God saves? Because he loves them. He doesn't want anyone to go to hell. He saved you from the devil's hell. But God saves us. And he leaves us on earth for his purpose. God's purpose for men to be saved and then perfected or trained to serve their commander in chief. If it's all about just happiness and joy and peace, God will take you to heaven. There's not going to be any more pain. There's not going to be any more, crying and tears and sorrows and death. None of that in heaven. If that's all it was he had for you on earth, then he'd take you to heaven. But there's a greater purpose on earth. For God's children, for Christians, we still have our marching orders. We are to win the lost. We are to have an example of Jesus Christ. We are to have a testimony that exalts Christ and reflects the teachings of this Bible. And we are to help others to come to an understanding of the God who loves them and the Savior who died for them and a life that is purposeful. It's not health, wealth, and prosperity. Don't be pulled into that. Now, you might have God's blessings on health, and you might have God's blessing on wealth and prosperity, but you're here to be a fisherman. Amen. Reaching the lost is to be our marching orders until our commander-in-chief calls us home. Being a fisher of men brings God's blessings into our lives. Knowing that you have something that all people need, even if they are blinded to it, it's what they need. If they will allow us, we can help them to find peace and joy and purpose. This last week, I met with a man who told me this. He wants going to become a member of the church. And he says, I feel like I'm just taking in and I want to give out. I don't know if he fully even understood that, but the idea there is you're not going to find the joy of the Lord by just taking in. You find the joy in serving and accomplishing the great commission that was given to us. And that's giving out. Amen. Giving the gospel to a lost and dying world. When our service to God ends, we'll receive the thanks and awards from our commander in chief and from all that you had a part in reaching. We gave our thanks to some veterans here today that we owe a great debt of appreciation for. Because of their sacrifice, we have our religious freedoms. One day, we'll stand before the Lord. Jesus himself, our commander-in-chief, and we'll give an account for what we've accomplished in the mission that he has given to us. We all ought to want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." We are to be, and he'll make us fishers of men. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. I believe the metaphor that Jesus used concerning fishing would also apply to our military and our veterans. And having commander-in-chief and understanding that that's who we are. And we have been commissioned to get a job done that affects the freedoms of all people. Praise the Lord for our veterans. Praise the Lord for our faithful Christians who have accepted the commission and are becoming fishers of men. Father, we bow before you. We love you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity to be in church. And Lord, I preached, I believe what you would have me to preach on this Veterans Day and the message that would apply to all of us. I don't know exactly how you have applied it to individuals' lives here today. There might be somebody here that's lost, that's never trusted you as their Lord and Savior. I pray that today would be that day, that they would be saved. Others maybe got saved, but they've not been aware of the commission that you have given every believer. And I pray, God, as we are made aware of that we would see ourselves as fishers of men and prepare ourselves and to become that. Whatever the need is today and however you have spoken to this congregation, I pray as we have this invitation that you would lead each one to make the decision that you would have them to make this morning. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.